Welcome to another inspirational podcast teaching by David Crank, Senior Pastor of Faith Church.
You know, yesterday I was on the streets here in St. Louis. I don't get to do it all the time, but occasionally I get to go out and with our homeless ministries and on the streets and so on. And so I did that yesterday. And if you follow me on Instagram, how many of y'all do that? How many of y'all don't do that? You don't even know what Instagram is. It's just kind of a social media forum that we post stuff all the time. You kind of get in our world. It's a free app. And so I posted this, but I want you to see it because I think it sets context for my sermon today. Here's the streets of St. Louis yesterday on Instagram.
It is Saturday morning here in November, and look at all of these people waiting everywhere. The Faith Church volunteers and staff are giving out coats and food.
Come on, give it up for our volunteers and the people who financially support that. We buy truckloads of blankets because it's cold here in St. Louis. Our people around in Florida, they don't know anything about this, but $5,000 will buy a whole tractor trailer load of blankets. And then we take those in the inner city and give it to the people that are sleeping outside and so on. And then that particular trail yesterday, it had tables on both sides. And here was coats for little kids and hats for little kids and adults and gloves. You'd be surprised how many people that are families now who are homeless, who are living on the streets. It's really a sad thing. But what is actually something that is even more sad to me is that the Church of Jesus Christ oftentimes have bought into the mindset that the church should be broke, therefore we cannot help people. God has blessed Faith Church to be a blessing, and we are making a difference, and we've only just begun. Come on, give God praise today. So I want to change your mindset about finances and about your business and about your life for a moment, and it's found in Luke chapter 4. And it came to pass. Everybody shout, it came to pass. This is good already, isn't it? The temptation came to pass. The trial came to pass. The tumor came to pass, right? Your mother-in-law come to stay in the winter. It's going to pass, okay? And they press upon him to hear the word, and there were two ships standing by the lake with two fishermen in it. Now, when Jesus had left speaking, he said, launch out to the deep and let down your nets. Everybody shout, launch out, into the deep and let down your nets. Do you know that God wants you and I to launch out into new territories in business and in our personal life? But we'll never do it if we do not change our mindset. You often hear me say that a mind stretch never goes back to its original size. If you're the smartest person at the table, you're at the wrong table. Isn't that right? Some of y'all moving right now. Don't move now. It's rude. But as your life begins to grow and your mind begins to expand, especially when it comes to God wanting to bless you, it can change the way you think. So if you can change the way you think, you can change the way you live. So in this particular account, Jesus is now preaching on the shore. And here are these two cats. The Bible says that they had toiled all night and they had caught nothing. Jesus got on their boat and he began to preach the word. The Bible says the faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So their faith is expanding, and Jesus said, launch out into the deep. That's what we just read. Launch out into the deep. And they said, well, Lord, we've toiled all night. In other words, we've worked really hard and nothing has happened. I mean, it's the same day. It's the same boat. It's the same nets. It's the same people. It's just what has changed. Duh, Jesus is on the boat, right? He said, I am with you. I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. So God gets in the boat with them and they go out. And this time they throw out, the Bible says they throw out their nets. And when they did, it says that their boat began to sink and their nets began to break. And there was so much fish that they couldn't contain it. The second boat could not contain it. And then they began to yell on the shore to all their friends who were actually business people as well. This denotes money. This is clients. This is resources. They're yelling, come on, Shaquita. Come on, Bob. Come on, Felicia. Everybody, everybody, not everybody, everybody, shout it with me, everybody, everybody, get your boats out here right now. And all of their ships begin to get full because God is not a broke God. He does exceedingly and abundantly and above all you could ever ask or think according to the power, somebody ought to help me today, that works within you. When Jesus is on your boat, he will tell you to launch out into the deep for a great haul, a great haul. God is into good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Will he cause all of these good things to happen to you? Now, I want to pause on that text a minute and pick up on my little lifestyle. When I grew up in a travel trailer. My dad was an evangelist. He didn't have any money. The people he preached to didn't have any money. And that's where I went to school. That's where, we slept. It's where we ate. Our whole life was in this little travel trailer running around the country. My dad had a good heart, but he didn't read his Bible. So if you don't read your Bible, you don't know the truth, and the truth can't set you free. So two-thirds of the parables in the Bible are dealing with M-O-N-E-Y. Some religious people say, oh, money is the root of all evil. No, you haven't read your Bible. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. Money is not bad. Money is good. Money can go buy blankets. Money can rescue girls out of sex slavery. Money can build churches around the world. Money can pay for television time to help people receive the truth that'll set them free. Money's not good nor bad. It's just neutral. That's what money is. Now, living in that trailer, my dad actually started praying and reading his Bible. How many know if you're a preacher, that's a great idea? I'm just awesome. So he started reading the Bible, and he found out that the Bible said in Psalms 35:27, let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. Let them say continually, check this out, listen now, may the Lord be magnified in the prosperity of his people. He started reading things like, you're blessed in the city, and you're blessed in the field, and you're blessed when you're coming in, and you're blessed when you're going out. And he read Deuteronomy 8:18. It says, God has given you the power to get wealth to establish the covenant. So he started believing that. He started believing that when you give, it'll be given back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. I'm talking about net breaking, boat sinking, supernatural opportunities. And so at the moment, right then, it didn't look like anything changed. In fact, we'd go back to our trailer where I went to school. I mean, even prom. I went to prom with my mom. It was innocent. I mean, it's just her. I graduated the top in my class, but I was the only one in my class. And God is my witness. Sometimes my dad would, there's in a travel trailer RV, I don't know if you've ever seen this, but your table now folds down. It becomes your bed. So it's my bed at nighttime. It's my table for school in the day, and it's my dinner table at nighttime. So we sit around this little table, me, my dad, my mom, and my brother. We don't have any money, but my dad's praying over invisible food. We don't have any food. And he would pray over the food. And then we'd sit there, and he would start saying, just chew, boys, chew. I was like, my dad's straight up cray cray. And we'd have to act like we were chewing this bologna sandwich. I'm like, my God, if we're pretending, let's don't eat bologna, let's have steak, right? It's just wrong. But we'd sit there, sometimes tears coming down my dad's face because he would hear the scripture saying, he that doesn't provide for his family is worse than an infidel. He would start saying, you left your good job. My dad didn't realize that he was building a foundation in me and my family so that we could go on in future generations and make a greater impact on the world. So it was only a seed at the time, but what my dad was doing is he was visualizing through the power of visualization that someday it would not be this way. But let me tell you something. You can grow up in an environment that's a poverty mindset that will keep you back from the greater blessings, and you will equalize yourself with every other broke person in the world and say, this is the way it's always been, so this is the way it'll always be. And you are right, unless Jesus get up in your boat. Huh? I'm talking, if Jesus gets in, it's going big, it's on like Donkey Kong, supernatural favor. If Jesus gets you in your boat, it's all over. Jesus is in the boat. Some of y'all look at me like, I wish Jesus was in my boat. He is! Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, infuses you with supernatural power. Somebody ought to get a hold of this right now. They said, we've toiled all night. We don't have anything. Nevertheless, at your word, we will launch out into the deep. So my dad was thinking all my life. And he started a little church. He had 180 people, great church. And he passed that church my whole life. Then when my daddy went on to be with the Lord, I went to the sale rack to buy a shirt. Now watch poverty mindset kick in. I always bought stuff, and I'm not against sale things. I love things on sale. I'm not against half off. Thank God for it. If it hadn't been for half off, Nicole would have never married me. So here you go. And I went to buy a shirt that didn't fit right, and it was ugly, but it was half off. So that's just the way I did. I never thought about going and getting a shirt that fit or a pretty shirt. Just forget it, because my mindset, you grew up in the trailer, you ate air bologna, you're just lucky to have it. In fact, we had what they call hand-me-down clothes. Y'all don't know anything about that, but it's where your cousin got pants that are way too big on you and you wear them and your parents are like, well, just you'll fit in it. It'll grow. You'll grow. I mean, a couple of years, those pants are going to look good on you. That's the way I grew up. Now, when I went to the store and I went to buy that half-off shirt, I heard something in here. My sheep know my voice and a stranger that I follow. And now I know it to be the Lord. The Lord said to me, not in a big booming voice. So take note of that. It wasn't like, Dave, this is God. Do you hear me? No, it was a knowing. I just knew. For some reason, God is leading me not to buy that shirt. God spoke to me and said, you need to break this mindset and you need to buy the full price shirt. You need to buy the nice shirt. And I did it. I know a lot of you women are like, oh, this is a revelation to me. I'm going to tell my husband the Lord told me to buy that dress. Uh-huh. Jesus told me. Right? So I bought it. What I didn't realize at the time was it was God beginning to expand me. He was strengthening my nets. He was making my boat bigger. He was saying, David, I don't want you to think about sale. And it's not against God thinking things are on sale. It's not about not being a good steward. It's not about being wise. It's about if it's a blessing blocker, if it's holding you back because your mindset is too small, then God will stretch your mind. We know about that. Thanksgiving's coming up, right? You get your maternity pants on because you know it's just going to be on. You start practicing your Lamas and all that. I mean, like me, and you just go crazy. You ever ate turkey dinner and you're done? You're like, I'm not eating for a day. Anybody ever thought that? I'm done. And then 10 o'clock, people are like, you hungry? You're like, yeah, I am. I'm hungry. Oh, I'm hungry. But we stretch our mind. So I didn't know that God was not saying, he wasn't saying, about the shirt, he was talking and he knew that right here, just this campus, and there are three of them in this town, just this campus alone is valued at $21 million. I would not have bought it if my mind hadn't been stretched. Then one of the other campuses, $37 million. I would have never done it if my mind hadn't been stretched. I would say I grew up in a trailer, and it's a truth. It's a fact. It's factual. I grew up in a trailer. It's factual that the recent studies that were done, the 63rd biggest church in America now, when they did the studies on the faith church, they found out after much research that I didn't qualify, that we shouldn't even hire someone like me. But the good news is I'm grandfathered in because I started the church. I mean, we know that. We know I don't even know how to dress. I mean, I don't even know what I'm doing up in here. But see, God will take you out past your education, past your qualification. Somebody ought to help me right now. Past where you came from. It ain't based on where I came from. It's based on where he came from. And he's taking me where I'm going. And he's taking you where you're going because God just got up in your boat. I wish I had somebody to help me preach today. I'm saying Jesus got up in your boat. I like preaching when she's here. Check this out. God wants to break the way you think. Because as a man thinketh, so is he. As a woman thinketh, so is she. Oprah ain't thinking about buying no half off nothing. Don't make me come down there right now to send Oprah. I'm proud of that. I'm proud that some African-American woman rose up through the ranks. And I'm not saying I agree with everything she does, no more than she would agree with everything. She'd probably agree with most of what I did if she knew who I was, but she doesn't even know I'm alive. But I'm just here to tell you right now that if God gets in your boat, stop thinking in the natural, start thinking in the supernatural. That means God puts his super on your natural. Same boat. That's what they couldn't understand. Same boat, same lake, same day, same staff. What's different? I'm here. Right. See, you might go to work tomorrow and go, same job. Same cray-cray kiss, same lazy husband, same traffic. I owe, so off the work I go. But if you'll be different because you went to faith church and you received the word and you go in on Monday with what you learned on Sunday. So you go in and say, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. Promotion doesn't come from the east or the west. Promotion comes from God. I just got a feeling that I'm right on the brink of a breakthrough. I saw God do it for Joseph and he went from the pit to the palace. I saw God, and you start praising God, he's like, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. And you go into the day with an optimistic attitude, knowing that God has blessed you to be a blessing. Everybody shout that. God has blessed me to be a blessing. Now, Acts 20, verse 35, it says, "And I have been a consistent example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should remember these words of the Lord Jesus." This is quoted by Paul. "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Let's all shout that together. It is more
blessed to give than to receive.
Now, I got two sides of this coin. The first one is, you've all given something, and you went, "Oh, that felt good." How many of y'all have given something away, and you were more blessed than the person was? Raise your hand. Almost all y'all. A lot of y'all are like, "I'm a receiver. I never give nothing in my life." Let's try that again. How many of you have given something away, and you're like, "Oh, that just feels good"? That's great. One of our campus pastors at the Weldon Spring campus, his son was giving out candy at Halloween, and he ran out of candy. And he ran back, this little bitty guy, and he ran into his personal stash, and he was getting candy. His mom said, "What are you doing?" He said, "The people keep coming, and I got to give them candy." She said, "That's your personal candy." He said, "I don't care. I just love giving to them." And see, that's the way God is. He'll reach in, and if you keep saying, "I'm here," he'll keep receiving. That's the story I got. I tend to think that he was stealing out of his brother's bucket, but that's a whole other sermon. If you do this kid, no. God's that way. God's going to bless you. So we know it's more blessed to give than receive in that way, but let me give you some revelation on it. If I were to give, in fact, I will give my friend Julie, who's been here with me the whole time, she told me today that her favorite restaurant is Longhorn. Okay, so I want to give her $100 Longhorn gift certificate. So all she gets, though, she just gets a $100 gift certificate to Longhorn. What I get is the return off of that. So when we go to church and we return the tithe, in fact, come here, Charles, let's try this real quick. Here's the difference between getting really blessed and really, really, really blessed. So a lot of people, they tithe. So here's my jacket. So I'm going to give it to Charles because he's on the prayer team. So I'm assuming that he's an honest guy. So there's my jacket. So what? Suppose Charles comes to me and he says, "Pastor, I saw this jacket. I love it. And I just want to give it to you." And I go, "Charles, you're returning it, dude. I own that jacket. My son bought me this jacket. In fact, my son said, 'I bought you this jacket, Dad.' I said, 'Oh, I love it. It's awesome.' And he said, 'Yeah.' He said, 'I actually wanted to buy it for myself, but it was too small. So now I went ahead and got it for you.'" How many of y'all love his honesty, right? I'm like, well, okay. So Charles didn't give me anything that was his. He returned it. That's what the tithe is. So a lot of people are under the curse of the law because they are not returning the tithe. I gave it to Charles because I knew I could trust him. I wasn't sure about the rest of y'all, so I went with Charles because I knew he would give it back. Okay, so I knew I could trust him. God blesses us with resources knowing that we're honest like Charles and we will return the 10%. Now, besides the tithe, there is an offering. That's where you make an offer. You ever made an offer on a house or a car? We're making an offer to God. And we're saying, "God, we return the tithe." That opened up the windows of heaven. But now we want the net breaking, ship sinking load, then we need the blessing from the blessor to be in our boat. And so we now have returned the tithe to you, God, but now we're going into our own stash of candy and we're giving you an offering, and that's what determines what comes out of the open windows of heaven. Come on, give God a shout today. Lord Jesus, somebody ought to say hallelujah. Net breaking, ship sinking, too much kind of guy. And when you allow this revelation to hit your heart, you will realize that you cannot save your way out of debt. I love Dave Ramsey. I think he is awesome. It's a supernatural thing. You should do a lot of the stuff he's doing. That's wonderful. But you can't save your way out of debt, not with the kind of debt you got. But you can sow your way out of debt. That means that God puts the supernatural on your life and you get unexpected raises, unexpected inheritance, supernatural opportunities that happen to you. See, God can do things that no man can do. This building, $21 million, $6.5 million. The other building, $37 million, $9, $10 million. All kinds of supernatural things that in the natural it would be impossible to do, but with God, all things are possible. Jeremiah said, "Is there anything too hard for God?" Everybody say, "Uh-uh." Nothing! Supernatural opportunity comes from Almighty God. Now check this scripture out. Over in Luke 6:38, it says, "Give away your life and you'll find it given back. Not merely given back, but given back with a bonus and a blessing. Giving, not getting, is the way that generosity begets generosity. See, when we go to the inner city and we help these people, we go to Tamarind and we start helping people in West Palm Beach, when we start doing all the things with the mission groups with Bill Hobbs and so on in West Palm and here with Larry Rise and all the other organizations, the Dream Center that we work with and Hand of Hope, when our church sows, we give 10% of our income and we sow on top of that, then God qualifies us for the blessing. And that's why Faith Church is in such an explosive growth all the time. Why are our nets breaking and our ships sinking with supernatural opportunity? It is because we have invited God in our life and we've got rid of the poverty mentality. And also, here's the key thing. This is very key. We listen to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Now, check this out. Yeah. We went on television in West Palm a few years ago, and we went on Fox, and then we ended up going to ABC and then CBS, and there was a guy who came to this church here who, he didn't have any money at all when he first started at the church with my dad years ago, and God began to bless his business, and then he began to tithe off of his credit card. He didn't have the money to tithe, but he said, I'm going to tithe off my credit card, and I'm going to tithe what I want to make. Well, fast forward that 30 years, and he sold the business for $70 million and moved to West Palm, to Palm Beach. And he said, when are you going to start this church in West Palm, Pastor? When's this going to happen? And I said, well, we got to go on television, and I don't ask for money on TV, so I'm probably going to do it when I'm 50. And he said, well, you're 44 now, and this is too long. I'm not waiting until you're 50. How do we get on? So we went on, and he said, I'll pay the bills, okay? So then he would stroke a check every 30 days for $23,000, which is a lot of money, right? If you don't raise your hand, I want to talk to you after church if that's not a lot of money to you. Well, he said he would do that for a year. Well, then in January, he called up and said, check this out. Well, this is very key. He said, we did our year. We're done now, and God bless you. And we said, well, thank you so much. You're gone. I was disappointed, but that's what he said. But watch this. What God was actually doing again was he was stretching my mind. See, for a year, I wasn't really focused. I wasn't even thinking about the money because I knew that this guy was going to pay the bill. When really, sometimes God will jack with your source and make you realize that is a source. It is not the source. In other words, your job that you lost was not your source. It was a source. Somebody ought to say amen to this thing. You might be watching right now and you lost your job. You lost your house. You lost your dog. Two things you need to do. Number one, you need to listen to some country music and rewind it. You need to get your dog back and your house back and your car. But the second thing you got to do is you got to get to a church that preaches the word and says that no weapon formed against you will prosper and God will meet all of your needs. So listen to the Holy Spirit. I'm praying in January and God speaks to me and says, start reading your Bible on your knees, the book of Acts. So I begin to read it every day and I'm crying and praying. And then around March, as I'm rereading it, I get to the point where Paul and Silas are in jail. It says Paul and Silas were in jail at midnight, and they begin to sing praises, and not only were they freed at midnight, but the prisoners were freed. I begin to cry, and I begin to praise God. I said, God, what does this mean? And I knew right then, he said, what I want you to do is I want you in West Palm Beach, Florida, and St. Louis to buy all available late-night time slots where people are in prison in the middle of the night. You might be watching right now and be one of those people that are recipient of the blessing of God. He said they're bound by drugs, they're bound by suicide, they're bound by all these various addictions. And he said, I want you to sing my praises in the middle of the night and they will be freed. So the next day I got up. Now I'm out that 23,000. God's asking me to stretch. He's going, will you launch out a little deeper? Will you thrust out a little deeper? So we stepped out and we bought. That's why now you don't see as many Ginzu knives or Chuck Norris. It's just pretty much all us, right, in the middle of the night. We bought all the time they would sell us in West Palm, all the time they would sell us in St. Louis, and we just kept on by faith. Well, my phone rings. This guy calls up and says, Pastor, watch God bring the supernatural on our boat. Watch the net break and the boat sink. He said, I just toss it and turn it in my bed, and I just feel like I should go, get back on the bandwagon again and start paying those TV bills. And I said, man, that's incredible, but I have some news for you. I bought a lot more time. He said, how much more time? And I told him, and he said, well, you know what? We're just going to do it. Then he called me back a little bit later. Watch God do exceedingly, abundantly, and above all you can ever ask or imagine. He called back and said, you know what? I feel bad. I just feel like as an unction just in me that I need to go back and pay for January and pay for February and pay for March. Somebody ought to get excited. I said, woo! It pays to get on your knees and read your Bible. Somebody ought to shout amen. See, when you look to God as your source, sometimes He'll turn it around and make the source another source, plus have manifold sources come into your life to where you are not beat down, you're not broke, you're not busted. At the end of the day, God is blessing you so that you can bless other people who are less fortunate to change the world, to make it a better place, because that's what we're called to do as the church. If I preach the way you clap, you never hear me. Somebody ought to get excited today. I'm saying God's fighting for you. I'm saying this financial situation is about to change for you. Because Proverbs 11:25 says, survey says, the liberal soul shall be made fat. The liberal soul shall be made fat. He that watereth will himself be watered. So see, you can overlay this in your own life, but in my life, I want to change people's lives. I want to help people. So I water people. God caused it to water me back. So in your life, on Monday, this is why it's important to go to church. I'll just watch you on TV. It's not good. You can steal information, but you can't steal revelation. And revelation comes when you come to church and you lift up your hands and you give God praise and you honor Him. I'll get back to my sermon, but I'm going to deal with you for one more minute. Those of you that stay at home watching Joel, Jesse, and Joyce. You need Jesus, okay? There's another J name, and you need to go to his house. Get up today. The Bible said, forsake not the assemblies of yourself together. When the evil day approaches, do it all the more. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In America, I'm a bit concerned right now that a lot of people are becoming very disloyal to God. And there's a day coming, and it won't be long, till ISIS is running around America, and people go, Jesus, help me. And Jesus will go, I never knew you. Who are you? Get to church today. Come on, somebody. Without delay, and worship God. So again, the liberal soul shall be made fat. So when you and I are generous to change people's lives, then God is generous back to us so that our life is changed. I often say it like this, that when I took a shower today, I wanted to smell good for you guys, I took a shower. When I got in the shower, I also got wet. When you have the blessing flowing on you, I took a shower so you'd go, man, he smells good. But I got a side bonus. I got clean and I got wet. When you get into an involvement with God so that you say, God, the reason why I've got this job, the reason why I'm here right now in this situation, the reason I'm not giving up, the reason I'm not going to say, hey, I've only made it this far, is not for me, it's for other people, because I want to be generous so that other people can receive their freedom that only comes from you. Yeah. Now, I want to read this passage of scripture to you before we go today. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, it says, remember, a stingy planter gets a stingy crop, and a lavish planter gets a lavish crop. I want each of you to take plenty of time to think it over and make up in your own mind what you want to give. No sob stories, no arm twisting. God loves it when you are a cheerful giver. God loves it when you're a cheerful giver. There are some people around this church that are very cheerful about their giving. They get excited. Some of our friends and church members actually have built, one guy at our church in West Palm built a house for millions and millions and millions of dollars and never intended to move away. He said, this is going to be my house. And so he built this house, and before he could get it built, the Lord spoke to him and said, I wanted you to build this house so that you could actually sell the prop, you could sell it and profit so you could feed the poor. And he sent a huge sum of money to a global mission organization. I'm telling you that sometimes God's actually got bigger plans for you than you think, and you can't base your future on your past, and you can't think just because you've been in this trial right now, and you're like, I don't seem like I'm ever coming out of this financial situation. Every trial has an expiration date. Come on now. Like milk, it has a shelf life. The enemy cannot maintain an attack. You need to believe with all your heart that God's about to bring on your boat a net breaking, ship sinking, supernatural opportunity that only He can bring, because He is your source. Every head bowed and every eye closed right now. I want to pray for you, and I want to pray for you at home. The number one thing I want you to do is to pray this prayer with me. Say, Dear Jesus, come into my heart. I want you to be my Savior. Now, the second thing I want you to do is I want you to get off that couch, get out of that room right now, and get to one of our campuses. We have a lot of campuses and even the online campus, and worship God. Don't pencil God in, ink God in. Life begins on Sunday. A church alive is worth the drive. And the second thing I want you to do is I want you to allow me to pray for you. Father, I pray right now that they've received Jesus, that they're going to make you their Lord, and that they're going to get involved in a good Bible-believing church that changes their life forever. And God, I say that they're going to have a net-breaking, ship-sinking, God opportunity like never before. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Come on, give God praise for his word today. Woo!
For more information about Pastor David's teaching and ministry, visit davidcrank.com.